Today's jobless report prompted a rally on the stock market at the opening bell. The report showed the unemployment rate dropped from 9.2% to 9.1% last month because employers added 117,000 jobs, more than expected. But the stock market rally lasted less than a half an hour, and the market immediately picked back up on yesterday's mood when stocks plunged on the biggest fall since the crisis of 2008. Joining us from Washington, Greg Ipp, U.S. economics editor for The Economist magazine. Greg, your take first on the economic news today.
Well, they're kind of a huge relief. I mean, 117,000 new jobs and a very modest downtick in the unemployment rate are not the sort of stuff that we would normally celebrate, but it comes after a lot of grim news. For example, the June employment numbers were truly terrible, and of course, we've just been through this market rout. So the positive thing about them is that they suggest that the economy is growing. It is not falling into a second recession. But they're not consistent with a really strong second half, by which I mean 3% or better growth. It's more like 2%, which is really a very unsatisfactory performance. It is not the sort of thing we can expect to see lowering the unemployment rate for the remainder of the year.
Well, and we hear that this, of course, contributed to yesterday's plunge, the bad economic news, which started last Friday, worse than, you know, the economy worse than people thought. The move in Congress to raise the debt ceiling had, you know, produced some elation for a minute or two, and then we were hearing from economists' disappointment that there was no sort of pillow, no tax revenue coming in, just cuts, so concern about that. And also fear that governments here and abroad are simply losing control of the situation. Sort of address that, especially the news from Europe that central bankers there helped out some countries by buying up some of their debt, buying their bonds, but didn't help out Italy or Spain. And that seemed to trigger part of the fall yesterday.
Yeah, I think what you have going on here is not just concern about the actual employment situation, but a concern that policymakers, whether they're central bankers or finance ministers or legislatures, either cannot do what is necessary to fix a problem, will not do it, or that the things that they choose to do are actually making the situation worse. And we have bits of all those three things. For example, the debt deal that Barack Obama signed into law on Tuesday actually tightens the screws a bit on the economy come next year at a time when we are already facing expiration of a payroll tax cut and therefore a burden on already weak economic growth. In Europe, the European Central Bank did say that, yes, we will buy some bonds of, say, Ireland and Portugal, but that's really kind of too little too late. People are worrying about Spain and Italy. And finally, there's a concern that even if the Federal Reserve were to give us a signal on Tuesday when they meet that they're prepared to do more, people are going to say, will it really work? We've already been through two rounds of this quantitative easing. And I think one of the problems going on here is that the policymakers themselves can't agree. Here in the United States, you have one part of Congress claiming that the only way to get the economy growing is to cut spending further, a view which I think is perhaps weakly supported by the data and theory. And another side saying, no, we have to spend more, have like more stimulus. And so part of the problem is that the people in charge themselves can't agree on what to do.
Well, you know, and the new polls today show 82% of Americans disgusted with Congress and they want job creation on the front burner. And also the Tea Party that backs the thinking you mentioned that, you know, spending cuts alone is favored by only 20% of those in the poll. 20%. You know, what is the thinking that Congress listened to 20% of the country who were demanding cuts when economists, as you said, don't cut during a fragile economy?
I think you have a situation here where our political system is really reaching a point of dysfunctionality that's quite negative for the economy. We have polls that show record public disapproval of the way Congress is doing. If you pull business executives, their confidence in the American Congress has been sliding for like 7 or 8 years, and you don't see that same lack of confidence in countries like Canada or Britain or Germany. And one of the problems I think you have is that our system is designed with checks and balances for two reasons. One, so that neither the legislative branch nor the executive branch can get too powerful, and two, to force people on both sides to compromise. Hey, I can't get everything I want, therefore I'll get part of what I want, and I'll give you part of what you want. But that same system of checks and balances breaks down in a system of polarization where you have right now, because one group of people that feel really, really strongly can bring everything to a halt, and I think there's an element of that going on.
Very briefly, Greg, today the president announced tax credits for businesses that employ veterans. Might he come back after this break or even haul Congress in and say, we've got to do more. We've got to have some tax cuts.
The administration would very much like to see several things happen in the following month.
Very brief. Well,
yes. Extend the payroll tax cut, extend enhanced unemployment insurance benefits, and a transport infrastructure bill that gives us some immediate spending.
Yeah. Greg Ipp, U.S. economics editor for The Economist. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.